Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled Praying and Watching. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and this is part 2 of 2.
It takes effort. You're saved by grace, but then you're told to be a workman. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman. Some of the people, by the way, that work the hardest are shut-ins I was talking about. And I used to visit this lady who couldn't get out of her house. But man, she had a notebook and her Bible. And that's about all she needed other than food and to go, you know, clean up once a day. And she had her Bible and her notebook, and she'd read the Word and read the Word, and then she had her notebook filled with names and requests of prayer. And she'd go back and forth in between talking to her kids and her grandkids on the phone, or they having a visit or whatever. In between that, she's in the Word and in that notebook. And you know what she also had? She loved to show this. She'd say, "Hey man, sit down, I want to show you this." And I'd sit real close to her. She'd open it up and she'd show me the check marks. You know what the check marks were? Answers. Yeah. You know why she got answers? She asked. You ain't going to get no answers if you're not asking. Amen. That's the Bible. Turn over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And this is the watchman principle. This is something that the prophet Ezekiel gives us from the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. And he's speaking to Israel. But we don't have time to do it this morning, but if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll see that this was the principle that drove the Apostle Paul. Amen. Was to be a watchman. And Ezekiel 33, beginning of verse 1, says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." Verse 5, "He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." That is every person that you have preached the gospel to. Amen. If they never do get saved, and they stand at the great white throne judgment, they're not going to look at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" Listen, folks, all tears are not wiped away until after that great white throne judgment.
Amen.
There's a lot of Christians who think less of the judgment seat of Christ and think less of the great white throne because they think we're going to be in some kind of a spirit-induced stupor where we're not going to feel anything anymore. And when we see these people condemned, that we're not going to think, "Why didn't I tell them?"
Yeah.
And I am sitting right down there with you as I preach this. This is as much to me as you. There have been times where I failed.
Yeah. Amen.
But sometimes you get another chance.
Amen.
And so that's when you say, "Okay, I failed the first time, but I'm going back in."
Amen.
That's the watchman principle. Look at verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away, take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But look at this. His blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now, I'm not teaching this thing. I've heard some guys teach what they call soul murder. They actually take it to the point of like accusing people, like, you're sending people to hell. No, you're not sending anybody to hell. And it said if they die in their sins, he is taken away in his iniquity. It's his sin. But there will be accountability for the watchmen who don't tell people the sword's coming. You say, what sword? Revelation 19, when he speaks, it's the sword of his mouth. And when he's on that great white throne, it'll still be that sword speaking as he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Verse 7 says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. I want to tell you something. Most Christians don't even warn their loved ones.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. They've actually gone out and interviewed people and done polls and found it scientifically. Most professing Christians spend their entire lives without telling people.
Yeah. Right.
And you know what happens to me? There's some are rabid about it. Rabid. I'm on the street preaching, and I've had people from the churches here in this town come up and tell me that I'm wrong for preaching the gospel and calling on the lost to repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
You're not going to win anybody that way. You're just pushing them further away. That person's speaking on behalf of the devil.
Amen. Yep. Could they show you in the Bible where you were wrong?
Never. And I've asked him that. And I said, why did Paul do what I'm doing right now? Why did he go up? He didn't actually just stand on the street corner. He went where they gather. Where there was a place dedicated to the unknown God. And he had the audacity to tell them they know not what they worship. He told them their religion was wrong. That's a sin. You should never tell people their religion is wrong. Don't pick on other people's religion.
But Jesus said to the woman at the well, we know what we worship.
Amen. Don't tell people their religion. You should never put anyone else's religion down. You didn't get that from the Bible.
Amen.
Matthew 23, that's all Jesus did was put somebody's religion down. And he wasn't even nice about it. People say, well, you should be more Christ-like. No, you mean I should be more effeminate. And I'm not going to be more effeminate.
Amen.
I'm not putting on your skinny jeans.
Amen.
I think most of you said thank you, didn't you? No skinny jeans. Stand out on the street corner and you're just telling lost people the truth. If they're saved, they shouldn't be offended. They should pray for you and say, Lord, help him, help him. He's telling them the truth.
Amen.
But there's a spirit in modern Christians today that they not only don't want you to tell people, they will get in your way. And I tell them when I get confronted, I say, I do not want to be in your shoes when you answer for this. If you're really a Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to regret what you're doing right now. Amen. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. There's also a bunch of guys out there who want to get numbers and brag. So they preach a gospel that doesn't call on people to turn. Paul said what he went out to preach was repentance toward God.
Amen.
And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to turn or burn.
Amen.
And they used to stand there on signs that said that. And they used to have bumper stickers. But we're too nice for that now. Turn or burn. That might hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want to do that. Listen, if you want to see revival, if you just want to see things shake up, what's going to happen is Christians are going to have to get in their Bible and understand the Bible doesn't ever say anything about hurting people's feelings being a sin. The Bible doesn't say that making someone mad is a sin. And the fact is, if you do it right, they'll kill you. I know when... I'm talking about preaching to others. And I'm saying, if you are going to be like Christ, you're going to make people so angry, they're going to want to kill you.
Yeah.
I got to do this. We got a minute. I'm going to show you something. I'm going off my notes. Yeah. Let's get over here.
You're off the notes.
According to some preachers, I'm sinning right now because I'm on the internet. Yeah. Give it a second. It's right here.
You also have a game of cards.
Here we go. I get that a lot. He put something on our public page. So I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to record that and just let everybody see what this guy's all about.
I say.
Now, you know what a lot of people would say? Well, preacher, you need to tone it down. You're upsetting people. He called me a racist. If you're not white, get out of here. When have I ever preached that?
Never.
I mean, all the white people, just remain quiet. If you're not white here today, have I ever made you feel uncomfortable and made you think I'm a racist or anything?
Absolutely not.
No. You know why liberals do that? Liberals do that. They will drop the race card on you because they've got nothing intelligent to say.
Always saying things
Yeah. They'll call you, bigot or whatever, racist. You preach against Islam and they'll call you a racist. And I say, you do realize Islam is not a race. They don't have anything intelligent to say, so they just drop down whatever word and whatever. It's like, why didn't you vote for Obama? You just a racist. No, I'll tell you why I didn't vote for Obama. He's a Marxist. Now, you give me a conservative who's black, Mexican, American, Asian American, an Indian like Bobby Jindal down in Louisiana. You give me a conservative, I'll vote for him. I don't care what race they are, but I'm not going to vote for a Marxist. And that's what you voted for if you voted for Obama. Amen. So getting back to the principle here. I made that guy mad. It wasn't race. He was dropping the racism card, but it's because we preach the truth.
Amen.
And they're going to, if you're not hated by somebody, you really need to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong? Because in the Bible, the truth preachers were hated. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I've been to a funeral where they said, never said an angry word in their life. Didn't have a single enemy. And again, I kept my tongue, but I'm thinking, what a shame. Waste your entire life like that. Jesus spoke in anger. You better than Jesus? And they hated him so much they killed him. So what do? You better be prayed up, because you're to watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Amen.
Perseverance. Persistence in anything undertaken.
Amen.
There's the main reason most Christians I've known are failures. They just don't stick to anything. They'll say, God's called me to do this. And 2 weeks later, somehow God called them not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I've had people contact me over the years. I say, I just want some tips. And tell me what I can do. And I say, well, what has God called you to do? And they tell me. I say, now here's the thing. Do it.
Amen.
And don't let nothing stop you.
Amen.
Do it and don't stop. I believe this is me personally. You can say, oh no, Greg, if you want, but there are better teachers than me. There are smarter men than me, better looking men than me, men with skills that I don't have, and they're failures because they simply do not persevere. A preacher told me when I was first saved, he just said, I just want to give you a bit of advice. This is Pastor Scott Rollins, Christ Community Church, Portsmouth, Ohio, came to visit me. And he said, what you need is a one word, stick-to-itiveness. You say, that's not a real word. Yes, it is. It's been a word that's stuck with me. Stick-to-itiveness. God tells you to do something, you do it, and you don't stop.
Amen.
Not everybody's going to be a preacher. But whatever it is God's called you to do, first of all, if He's called you to be a husband, if He's called you to be a wife, if He's blessed you to be a father and a mother, stick to it. The divorce rate would plummet.
Amen.
Amen. And then we already mentioned supplication and imploring requests. And that just says you're serious. You're not just praying. I get this list up here when we pray because I don't want to leave anything off. But even as I'm praying, I don't even say it out loud, but even as I'm praying sometimes, I say, no, and Lord, I really mean this. I really love this person and really want to lift them up to You. Imploring requests. So one final thing. Have you noticed how little the attention is on you in this thing? The attention is on your fellowship with God and ministering to others. If you would stop thinking about you so much, you'd be better off.
Amen.
A lot of people, their struggle is simply that they're so obsessed with themselves. I don't care if you've been taught self-esteem, self-love, trash that idea, trash the whole thing. It's not self-esteem, it's Christ-esteem. It's not greater am I than the world, it's greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
It's not I'm going to think something of myself, I'm going to demand respect. That's what you're taught a lot of times in Christian curriculum.
Yeah.
Or Joel Osteen. The Bible is the opposite. The Bible says, you know what? You need to stop mattering so much to yourself. You need to die to yourself.
Amen.
Over and over, we're told to watch and what?
Pray.
And evangelize. Sorry, Martha. That's a good one. You answered correctly. But we're also told, we are told to watch and pray many times. We're also told to watch and evangelize.
Amen.
They go hand in hand. 2 Timothy 4:5. So I'll have you read this with me. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Look at that. You watch. That's not about you. You endure afflictions. That's sacrifice. You do the work, dirty word, four-letter word, work, of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. The soldier of Jesus Christ is, say it,
selfless.
Selfless.
Yeah.
Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.